Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Got this here. Pressures on moms today. It's got to be the toughest job in the world. Just think of what was expected of her in our success-driven society. Have a successful career, raise perfect children. You got to be a great cook. You got to look like a model. You got to be charming, a charming hostess and a conversationalist. All these pressures on a mom to be a good mom. I saw this here. A young Korean boy. He was adopted by an American family, and he was sitting with his mother at McDonald's. And another boy came up to him and asked, "Is this your mother?" And he says, "Yes." Well, the other boy says, "Why don't you look like her?" And he said, "'Cause she's a girl." The father asked his son what he wanted for his birthday, and the boy said he wanted a baby brother. Soon, his birthday wish came true, and he got a baby brother. Well, the next year, the father asked, "What would you like this year for your birthday?" And he was kind of hesitant. He wanted a pony, but he thought that was going to be too hard on mom. So, yeah. Okay, all right. I should have just stopped with the last one here. Hey, today is a special day. It's Mother's Day, and on this Mother's Day, what a beautiful thing to do. We're going to have a baby dedication today at the end of the service. But to get to that point, I got to talk a little bit, okay? And I go to one of my favorite stories in the Bible, my favorite biblical mother. If you've not read, no, I don't know how to do that. Okay, Hannah. Okay, let me just tell you. Hannah in the Bible. It's in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. This is what it says. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." So Hannah is the mother of Samuel. If you know Samuel, you got the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. The name Samuel, if anybody here is named Samuel, the name means to ask. Because Hannah asked God, "Because I asked the Lord for him." So his name is Samuel, and Samuel means to ask. This is what a baby dedication is all about. It's a time to come to God and to ask God, to cry out to God. As parents, it's imperative that we learn to depend upon God because our children are depending upon us. So we ask. We ask God for help. And we ask God for protection. And we ask God for wisdom, and we ask God for guidance, and we ask God for patience, and sometimes we ask God for sleep. But we have to ask. Hannah asked, and Hannah received. And then Hannah gave her child to God. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28, "I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And it goes on and says, "And he worshiped the Lord." Hannah gave her firstborn. I want to say she gave her best, but I don't want to say that the firstborn is always the best. But you know, she gave, because I'm the lastborn, I'm the baby. And what happened? Because of Hannah's heart, because of her sincerity, because of her love for God and her love for her baby, Samuel grew up, and do you know what happened in his life? Samuel, he was the last of the judges. He was considered a prophet and a priest. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord." This man walked with God. This man, he grew up to know God's will, and he taught God's will to the people. He led Israel in revival. He was instrumental in organizing the government of Israel. You see, before Samuel came along, Israel was kind of a clan, but it was Samuel who anointed the first king, which was Saul, and then the second king, which was David, because Saul didn't last very long. So he anointed David, and under David's leadership, Israel became a dynasty. But Samuel was instrumental in organizing all this. And not only this, he wrote the book of 1 Samuel. And it all started with a mother who dedicated her son to God. And Samuel grew up to be submissive to God, and Samuel grew up to be sensitive to God. How does this happen? Does it all happen by, you know, on a Sunday morning to have a baby dedication? No, I mean this is nice. This is a good thing that we're getting ready to do, but there's so much more to this. A baby dedication begins with a parent's dedication. Eugene Peterson, he says, "Let the little children come to Jesus, but insist the parents bring them." Behind every godly child has to be a godly mother and a godly father. And I've got on your outline, if you see this here, Planned Parenthood, just kind of a little play on this here, because the world has done something with that term that's not pretty. We need to reclaim that. We need to plan on being good parents, and the way that we plan on being good parents is we plan on living our life for God. Doing it God's way. Now, this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let me read the story here to you. 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man, and I won't say all these names, I can't say because it's embarrassing, but a certain man whose name was Elkanah. And he had two wives. That was okay back then. Not really okay, but he did, okay. He had two wives. One was named Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. No, that's not right. She doesn't matter anyway. It's Hannah that we're focusing on here. All right. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. And whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, that's how you say it, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. All right, before we get to Hannah, I want to talk about Elkanah the father. And what do we see about Elkanah here? Elkanah was a man who worshiped the Lord. You see, he's a man of God. And if we are to dedicate our children to God, we must be dedicated to God. Chuck Colson, he asked, if there's so many Christians in the United States, why aren't we affecting our world? We treat our faith like a section of the newspaper or an item on our things to do list. We file religion in our schedule between relatives and running. You know, relatives, religion, and running. It's just one of the many concerns competing for our attention. Not that we aren't serious about it. We go to church, we attend Bible studies, but we're just as serious about our jobs or our physical training. You know, that work is as important to us as God is. Keeping fit is as important as what God is. No, if we're worshiping God, we worship God. Everything else is secondary to God. We put God first. This is why Sunday morning we start our week worshiping God in the presence of God. And to not put God first, anything else that gets in the way, that's just idolatry is what that is. Worshiping our job, worshiping money, worshiping success, or our fame, our Xbox, our recreation, our family, even if we put our family before God, that's idolatry. God must come first. Elkanah worshiped God. And now Elkanah sacrificed to God. He gave his best to God. He gave his time. He gave his resources. He gave of himself to God. And he also gave to Hannah. He gave a double portion to Hannah. He gave Hannah more than she needed. He gave Hannah more than she expected because he loved her. And I've learned this over the years, and I don't think I can say this enough, but probably one of the greatest things I ever learned, the best thing I can do for my children is to love their mom. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy." So you look at Elkanah, he is a man who worshiped God, he sacrificed to God, he gave to Hannah, he loved Hannah. But it's Mother's Day, so we're not going to talk about him anymore. Now we get to Hannah. It was 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2. He had two wives, one was called Hannah. Verse 5 says, "So to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb." And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival, Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And then this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" I don't have the guts to ask that last part there. I think, man, don't go that far, okay? But then 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and she prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty." By the way, she's the first one in the Bible to ever address God that way. Lord Almighty. "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." A couple of things to see about Hannah here. First of all, to see that she wept, she cried out to God. And then secondly, I want you to see she made a vow to God. She made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." Now, what is a baby dedication? A baby dedication is a vow to God. It's a commitment to God. It's not a photo opportunity. It's not just a 10-minute thing we do and then we go on with life. We are making a vow before God. Hannah made a vow before God. The story goes on here, verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli the priest observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving and her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of that wine." "No, not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant as a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him for." So Hannah, she wept, she vowed, she poured her soul out to God. I want to ask you, when was the last time you poured your soul out to God? I mean, you just poured your soul out. And here's the thought. I can imagine mothers doing this on a regular basis when you look at your kids. But what about the men? What about the men? How often, men, have you poured out your heart to God, poured out your soul to God? I tend to think we live in a world that, you know, that's not macho. We don't do that kind of stuff. But David wrote in Psalm 126, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." It was David who wrote this. David, a man, a king, a warrior, was a man who was known to pour out his soul to God. So fathers and mothers, I would encourage you to pour your soul out to God. Let God know what your heart's desire is. Because God loves you. God cares. God wants to hear you cry out to him. Okay, so we look at Elkanah, we look at Hannah, and what's the application here? We come home today, what can we learn about how to dedicate our children to God? A couple of things that I want to emphasize. First, we need to be men and women of prayer. Hannah was a woman of prayer. I think parenting just does that to you naturally, doesn't it? I mean, you bring a child to this world, you're going to start praying. And we need to be disciplined at praying. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord." And in verse 12, she kept on praying to the Lord. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? If it's not good, I would challenge you. Let's improve in that area. Let's get better. Let's get disciplined with our prayer life to pray for our children, to pray for their protection, to pray for wisdom, to pray that you're doing it the way that God would want you to do it. So let's work on our prayer life. And secondly, she made a promise. Hannah was a woman who kept that promise. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11, she made a vow. I've read this already. "Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." Proverbs 20, verse 25 says, "It's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows." when you're making a vow before God, we must take that seriously. The Bible warns, don't make a vow lightly. It's foolishness to dedicate your child to God and to seek God's blessing if you're not dedicated to God. If you're not dedicated to seeking God, if you're not living for God, then this is a waste of time. But if you're dedicated to God, then God will be dedicated to you. So pray, promise, praise. The next thing I see here, Hannah was a woman who worshiped God before she conceived. I mean, while she was in her misery, while she thought her womb was closed up, she was a woman who still continued to worship God. Early in the morning, they rose and worshiped before the Lord, before she even knew that she was carrying the child. And then you get into the next chapter, 1 Samuel 2, and she breaks out in song. I won't read the whole thing to you, but in 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. So she's a woman of prayer. She's a woman who kept her promise. She's a woman who worshiped. She praised God. And she prepared herself to give her son to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22, when the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the animal sacrifice to the Lord to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. So the woman stayed at home, and she nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull and with an ephah of flour, that's about 40 pounds of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. So she nursed him. She brought resources with her when she was presenting the child to the Lord. And it goes on 1 Samuel chapter 2. I love this here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. But as Samuel was ministering before the Lord, he's a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe. He's wearing a linen ephod. He looks just like the priest, you know? Because he's at the temple now. He's in the temple. He's serving the Lord in the temple as a little boy. He looks just like the big priest. And each year, the mother made a little robe and took it to him. And she went up with her husband to offer the animal sacrifice. So every year, she made a new robe for him. So Samuel would look like the priest. And wouldn't that be cool if you guys like made clothes so your kids would look like me? Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, maybe not. Okay. But let me ask this, how do we prepare our children? How do we prepare our children to minister before God, to live their life for God? What are we doing? Because we live in a world that we're so obsessed with academics and with sports and with, you know, a thousand other things. Are we obsessed with their spiritual life? Because don't we understand the greatest thing that we can give our children is God? So they will be blessed. So what are we doing to prepare our child for that? It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is every parent should know that you need to memorize this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are the commands, decrees, the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord, so they can be blessed by God. Fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. He said, God wants to bless you. So, you know, here's the commands that you're to keep. It goes on, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord the God of your fathers promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. They're the best thing you can do for your children right now, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. How are you doing that? How are you impressing the Lord's commands on your children? It goes on and says, talk about them when you sit at home. We live in a world that, you know, you're not supposed to talk about religion and politics at the table, right? This says, yes, you are. Maybe not politics, but religion, you're supposed to be talking about God at home. Mom and dad, your children need you to be talking about your relationship with God. And this will talk about the commands of God when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How important is the word of God to you? And how are you impressing the word of God upon your children? So your children will know the commands of God. So they will enjoy long life. So they will enjoy the blessings of God. So let's see, pray, promise, praise, prepare, and present. Present your children to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 22, she said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and I will present him before the Lord. In 1 Samuel 1, 28, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given to the Lord. So today we are going to have a baby dedication. And a baby dedication is really about the parents' dedication. And my message is, if the parents are dedicated to God, then God's word tells us that God will be dedicated to helping you. And that's what we're seeking. We need God's help. And I believe, you know, as I study the scriptures, as I read the word of God, what I see here is that God will hear your prayers. You're going to be crying out to God a lot. You're going to be crying out to God a lot. But God tells you he will hear your prayers. In 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But if you're righteous, if you're living for God, if you're walking with God, he'll hear your prayers. James 5, verse 16, the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Proverbs 15, 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of a righteous person. So are you walking with God? Are you dedicated to God? You need to be dedicated to God if you want God to be dedicated to helping you with your child. So he will hear your prayers, and he will provide for you. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Put God first. Not your spouse, not your children. Put God first, and he will bless you. He will bless your spouse. He will bless your children. And he blessed, because Hannah, this is what Hannah did. Hannah put God first. Hannah gave God her first child. Can you imagine that? But isn't that what, you know, we're called to give God our first? And as a result, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Because she put God first, God gave her the desires of her heart. She had a beautiful family. And God will guide. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, we need to, because sometimes being a parent doesn't make sense. Doing things God's way, you know, doesn't make sense. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to listen to God? Are you going to do it the way that the world's telling you to do it? You know, don't discipline that child. You might hurt that child. Discipline that child. It's what God says. You need to discipline that child. Are you going to do it God's way or not? John 16, 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. See, if you're walking with the Spirit of God will show you how to be a good mom, will show you how to be a good father. But you need to be connected. You need to be listening. You need to be led by the Spirit. And I say all this here, and I'll close with this. God will bless you. To understand, if you are dedicated to God, he will bless you. Deuteronomy 4, verse 40, keep his decrees and commands, which I'm giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God's got something awesome for you. God's got something awesome for your child. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your children. In Romans 10, verse 12, there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord, the Lord is of all, who, and richly blesses all who call on him. He richly blesses all who call on him. And that's what today's about, isn't it? We're going to close with this baby dedication. And I'm going to challenge you, mothers and fathers, will you call upon the name of the Lord?
To your heart. Please.